EXO Auto Works. EXO Auto Works is Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment. Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios. Madrid Maintenance. Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-634-2020 or online at facebook.com/madridmaintenance. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products, so you should click the link below and use the code TLANE15, that's TLANE15, for 15% off your order. The Toolbar, our new line of handmade soap produced in partnership with Crafts by Carolyn Lane, available on Etsy. This soap packs a punch of manly scent, like oak and fig, fresh-cut lumber, cedar, and more masculine fragrances being developed all the time. With a soft touch of natural oils to cleanse and moisturize, use the link below to buy the Toolbar now. Once you try it, you'll never want to wash with anything else.
From EXO Auto Works. Streaming all over the world. It's your weekly dose of toxic masculinity. With Eric Madrid and Trevor Lane. It's Mad Tools.
Metal. All the metal. It's all the metals. I did the metals on the kilos today. I did it on the grandpa's guitars, though.
Yeah?
Yes. It was so nice to be able to have enough, I guess, history in the music scene in town to, when you go play a benefit show, Kilo calls you and says, "Hey, man, do you and your guys want to come on promote it a little bit live real quick?"
That's cool.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone, but, I mean...
I could Photoshop you on there.
Can you? Just get the phone number right. That's hilarious. It's all right. So, yeah, Zach did that logo, and I think he did that a while back, and that's the old one. I think it's still up there. That's funny.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry. He did Mortensen Landscaping, too. He forgot to drop the D on land. Yeah. You know, I did say that on the air, though, because... Sid was like, "Oh man, that was a cool song. How'd you write that song?" I said, "All I did was drop the D." I got to say that on Kilo Radio. I was so happy.
That's awesome.
Sexual innuendo and hyperbole. So good. So how was your week?
Not bad, buddy. Other than sick children.
Oh yeah. No Rona though, right?
No Rona.
No Rona.
But still sucks.
It sucks that we're still talking about this thing.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago to flatten the curve. Seems like forever.
Yep.
Seems like months. Almost years even. Man Tools cares, everybody. Man Tools cares. We do, though. We care.
Very much.
Well, hopefully we have a couple listeners. I wanted to put something out there about to our listeners. We're going to run this theme throughout tonight. How did you quit your job that you hate, but you kind of like it at the same time? How do you quit your job that you just... Have you quit a job?
It's been a long time.
Right? I think the last time I quit was at the radio station in college.
I think I've only quit to move into other jobs.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But did you do the 2-week notice and then totally like use your PTO on the last week and
yes,
yeah, I bet you did. I bet you did. Huh. I'm just in a bit of a conundrum.
Well, anybody have any advice? Feel free to chat.
Feel free to chat. We'll bring it in. We'll ask our guest tonight. We have an amazing guest this evening. Todd will be with us, and he'll be talking about his new book, Charlie Fiction, and some of his other projects that are coming out. And he'll join us here shortly.
Yeah, about 10 minutes-ish.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into the news, and then we'll...
Circle back
to our guest.
All right.
While you guys are all watching the news, you know, think about great ways to quit your job.
Yeah. All right, so we start with this headline from this publication. I believe it's the Daily Mail. It cut off up here, as you can see.
That's good.
But, yeah, as the headline says, it's horrifying how some young men, Western men, are so alienated by woke culture that they even admire the Taliban's twisted mindset.
No.
That is frightening.
That's scary.
However, let's see, I'll just read a little bit of this. Amid the blood-splattered horrors of Kabul, perhaps the most startling response has been an outpouring of warlike passion from disaffected young Western men. But they're not backing Western soldiers. They're cheering on the Taliban. Far-right groups are gloating. One user on a online message board called the toppled Western-backed Afghan government Globo Homo Clown World. He characterized this as powered by liberalism, consumerism, secularism, usury, democracy, global capitalism, and most of all, feminism, women's rights, / women's liberation. Well, I will say, cheering the Taliban on is possibly a little extreme, but... I was recently reading how the State Department is concerned at the lack of women in the new provisional government's cabinet. I would think we'd be more concerned that the Taliban is the government.
Yeah.
And this kind of misses the point. These alienated men hate all of it. The whole woke worldview, from racial tolerance, it's not quite what they mean by woke, to LGBT rights, to feminism. And they're lionizing the Taliban as heroic anti-woke freedom fighters. No, I think when most people are talking about woke, it's not racial tolerance. It's more the point of view that it's fine if Black Lives Matter rioters destroy property and set things on fire, but protesting the lockdown is somehow... You know, when you see that in the media, it's like, wait, what? Why is the one fine and the other one is going to be a super spreader?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We're not going to solve the world's problems on this show, but the real news in this story, the real news right here is ABBA are back. And the band reveals that they're releasing a new album.
The first in 40 years.
And they'll be playing a hologram tour. That's lame.
That's
super lame. Why not just film a special? Just do a Netflix special like every comedian ever.
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm not paying for tickets for ABBA. B, I'm not paying $200 tickets for ABBA to go watch a hologram.
No.
Of them performing somewhere else.
Yeah.
At home. any of you ever played Gears of War? That shit's laggy. Like.
or do they mean like, ABBA's not going to travel. The hologram will travel in their
stead. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So you'll go to an arena.
It looks like they're wearing those little suits with the dots on them.
You'll go to an arena and see hologram ABBA.
Uh-huh. So you're going to go watch a hologram tour. That's almost as bad as a Pink Floyd laser show, except at least there you can get stoned. I mean, it's a prerequisite. They just hand you joints at the door.
Well, nothing's stopping you from getting stoned at ABBA.
I mean, you'd have to be super stoned to buy tickets for ABBA. Like, oh, that would be so cool.
I would agree. on to something a little more fun, although still in the weird geopolitics.
And government overreach.
China has announced a plan to get rid of sissy men characters from their entertainment, especially TV shows, to encourage more masculinity. This is after, I don't know if you read recently, they also are only allowing people under, I think it's 18, 3 hours of video game time?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it work per week or per day?
It's per week.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, those poor parents are like, fuck this. Now I got to enter. The kids are driving me crazy.
Go work at the sweatshop.
Go back to making socks.
Yeah, Chinese government banned effeminate men on TV and are holding and told broadcasters Thursday to promote revolutionary culture, which is just their thing for to communists. For those that don't understand, the revolution never ends, which is why they're constantly doing purges and
yeah.
Stuff like this. We got to keep the revolution going because they never get the communism quite right. President Xi Jinping has called for a national rejuvenation with tighter Communist Party control of business, education, culture, and religion. Companies and the public are under increasing pressure to align with its vision for a more powerful China and a healthier society. One quote is, broadcasters must
resolutely put an end to sissy men and their abnormal aesthetics.
Yeah. The TV regulator said using an insulting slang term for effeminate men, Ning Pao, and I'm probably butchering that, or girly guns, which I guess means you got like noodle arms.
Yeah, girly guns. Huh. Well, the only thing that I think is going to come of this is that we'll actually get some better sizes over at
larger sizes on Amazon.
On Amazon, and yeah. I was going to say the retail chain store, but they don't support us. So, because there's only two sizes there. It's girly guns and girly guns little brother. No shirts fit there.
That is it. Let's see if we can get one more story before Todd calls. This again comes from the Daily Mail. A new study indicates that women are turned on by men who mumble.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
They think it's more macho, and while men tend to prefer the femininity of precise pronunciation. I'm just guessing that mumbling is annoying as shit to everybody.
Well, women like a project.
That could be part of it.
Oh, he mumbles. I'll fix him.
I don't know anybody, male or female, that likes asking someone to repeat themselves.
No. Maybe it makes them feel engaged. You just mumble, and they're like, what? Oh, tell me more. Wait, tell me. Maybe.
I don't know.
Could be. Could be.
The study, and they use Tom Hardy as an example. I've never heard him mumble in movies.
Not really. Or in, like, interviews. He's slightly brash, but you can always understand him.
Yeah.
He might be soft-spoken at times.
And I would think when it comes to films, that would be the opposite of what they would want.
Yeah. The only one that he didn't really talk much was Mad Max Feminist Road.
Yeah, that's true. Weren't a whole lot of lines in that one.
No.
There he is.
There it is.
Slide over here. Hello, is this Todd? All right. Ty. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Man Tools. I'm not going to try to butcher your last name. This is Todd. Fantasy author.
Are you sure? I mean, it can get creative.
I'm not even going to make the attempt. I'll let you set us straight
you
right off the bat.
You have to do it in a German accent. Maybe a Scottish accent.
In a German accent. It would be Fahnenstock, right? I think. But I don't do a very good German accent, obviously. It's Fahnenstock, is how we say it.
Yeah.
The Z's are silent, Trevor.
I got you. anyways, Todd is
author extraordinaire.
I was going to list some books. The best-selling author of The Wishing World, Fair Mist, and Wild Mane. And you can check out his stuff over at toddfahnenstock.com. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. How are you doing? You on the road?
I am. I'm in wonderful St. Louis right now. I've never seen the St. Louis Arch before, and it doesn't disappoint. It was quite impressive.
It's very archy.
Yeah, it's archy. And
it is.
And only two exits outside town, there's a truck stop where you can take a shower and get hit on by truckers. I mean, if you want to see all the sights locally,
we missed that spot. Maybe we'll have to turn around and go back.
Just hit it on your way back. I'm going to wake you up for the drive home. I have a buddy in St. Louis, work at his studio sometimes, so we go out there, and it's always a sketch road exit over there. It's like, we should get gas here.
Nice.
No.
We shouldn't.
No. So anyway, you're out traveling. You're doing your thing. I know you were at a couple of the cons?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had quite the con month. It wasn't all in one month, but it was, I think, all of them were within 30 days of each other. I had one late July and then two in August. It was quite the... quite the constravaganza for me.
That was punny. You're a writer, right?
One punch, one set.
So I also got a kick out of looking at your website and your collection of slang from your teenage girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. Like, I got such a kick out of that. That was back when they would talk to me. I mean, they don't talk to me anymore. I'm not in the inner circle. I think when they're like around 12 to like 14, 15, I was still kind of the cool dad and I was kind of in the inner circle. And I would, I would say, what does that mean? When one of my daughter's friends would say something and she'd say, it means this. And she'd really get into it and explain it to me. And now I'm like, what does that mean? And she kind of gives me a look and then puts her AirPods in and walks away from me.
She's like, fogey. God.
She's like, Venmo me money.
Venmo me money.
Right. Dad, can I have the car, please?
Oh. So touching. Makes me want to wear a condom. So touching. Well, anyway, you've got some amazing stuff out now. You also are now dabbling and diving. Well, I wouldn't say dabbling. You're diving into the realm of audiobooks and reading out all of your own. So how's that coming along?
Yes, and thank you for helping me out, man.
Anytime, buddy.
You should add in that you've been mastering my amateur stylings and making sure that they're audiobook ready. So I appreciate that. That's been really cool. I've been taking notes. You've taught me a lot in a very short amount of time. So, that's something I'm really enjoying right now. It takes a lot of time, but it's deeply satisfying because I get to portray the characters the way that I want to portray them. And I think I'm okay at it. Like, I think I'm getting better at doing the voices and, reading the basic texts. Like, the stories are, internal monologues and then dialogue between characters and then description of things. Right. I mean, that's kind of like the various different things that happen as you're creating a narrative, and the internal monologues I'm good at, the description, fine. when it gets to the dialogue, like, it can be good and it can be horrible, because as you've noticed with my German accent, like, sometimes I don't hit it the way that I want to hit it. And anybody who knows accents at all will be like, oh, dude, that's so not the accent that you were trying to do. I think I see what you're trying to do, but it's not working out. So that's what I really have to work on.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to do better with the various different characters and the way
they
speak.
You just, when somebody gives you shit about the accent, you say, no, he had a head injury as a child. So how could you be so insensitive?
Well, my advantage is that I write fantasy novels, so there is no Germany. There is no, Sweden. So it's like, you can't really get on my case for having the wrong accent, because you don't know. It's, bourgeois Hagian is what it is. And you've never heard bourgeois Hagians talk before.
Well,
so,
I mean, you've heard Chris Hemsworth speak on all the Avengers. That accent's terrible. But to be fair, he's from another planet, so maybe that's how they talk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's from Southern Asgard.
Southern Asgard. Yeah. The toilets flush the other direction. That's how it works.
I hear they actually
do.
Yeah,
it's
kind of cool.
Funnels go the other, gravity's weird. That's why 42 is the magic number. You know that, right?
I'm not sure. I mean, I knew that 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything, because Douglas Adams told me so. But is
it's
there
Earth.
Something else?
If you were to bore a tunnel, bore a tunnel anywhere, the planet is such of a size that if you were to bore a tunnel anywhere from crust to crust, and let gravity jump in it, and because if you were to jump in and you would go through, you would stop right at the cusp of the other side, because gravity would slow you down at the exact speed. Does that make sense? It'd take you 42 minutes, no matter where you are.
Okay, but then we're sort of, bypassing the problem that you would be completely
melted
by the time you went through.
I thought you wrote fantasy, bro.
Sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
My apologies. So, yeah, you fall through, it takes 42
minutes.
You come up on the other side. 42 minutes, really? Like, it takes, 14 or 17 hours or whatever to fly around the globe, but going through.
No, the Earth is flat, dude. What are you doing?
Oh!
Yeah,
now I'm
right.
All
it's
right,
flat, and then, you have to do these parabolic arcs because it's flat.
Flat, but 42 minutes
Yes,
thick.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it.
It's like a a nickel.
Yeah, it's like a nickel. It's a big old fat nickel. 42 minutes.
A really giant nickel.
Yep. 42. Also the amount of time Trevor lasts in bed, according to his wife.
42 minutes? I'll go with that.
Okay. Seconds.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not on real radio. I was just on terrestrial radio. I was doing a little interview thing, a little singing thing, and playing guitar thing, and I tried not to drop all of the F-bombs. I was trying to not make jokes, but I did get a dirty joke in. We did a song, the guitar is super simple, and the guy goes, he's giving me crap about, oh, did you guys write that song? That just the technical ability on the guitar alone on that song, it's like two chords, is just amazing. I was like, yeah, all you got to do is drop the D. Trevor laughs, but it's a guitar joke.
Yeah, I don't play the guitar, so I'm not sure that I'm the best.
No, it's all right.
Joke. Well,
the DJ was, so he lost it. He's like, oh, entendre, hyperbole, perfect. I was like, yeah, innuendo and hyperbole. That's my language. Yeah, I got away with saying drop the D on the radio today. It was awesome. Super awesome. Pushing the boundaries. Speaking of pushing the boundaries, you have one of your latest books out is called Charlie Fiction. And
fairly recent, not one of my latest, but fairly recent. Yeah.
For audiobooks.
Yeah, for audiobooks.
So
we're pimping
out your audiobooks, cuz
our
listeners don't know how to read. If it's proof by the fan letters, fan letters I get with the, cap locks warriors on and the atrocious grammar and the horribly misspelled insults, pretty sure they can't read. So we're going to just push the audiobooks.
Cool.
Yeah, so where can everybody pick up Charlie Fiction audiobook world?
Yeah, so Amazon on Audible is where Charlie Fiction is right now. You can also go to my website, click on Charlie Fiction, it'll take you to the page and that'll put you right where you can get either the audiobook or ebook or print book. But yeah, it's all just head to head to Amazon, or if Audible, if you've got an Audible account or whatever, you can just look it up. Charlie Fiction, it'll be there.
I had to listen to it twice, and here's why. It's not that it was at all confusing, because I want you to give us a synopsis here in just a second. But I had to listen to it in full twice because I was doing the editing and mastering on it. So I was hearing snippets and snips, and as I'm doing it, I'm only looking at the very loud sections, get the mean average of the volume of how it's supposed to do its thing. And then I would test only like clips of it as I was like, I'd dump clips in and I'd listen to the clips. So I got it all disconjointed and out of context on the first round. So I was like, wait, what's happening here? So
what happened?
And then the first time I listened to it, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Okay. So. Okay. Then I listened to it again with like fresh ears a couple weeks later, just for enjoyment at a long road trip. I was like, yep, let's go. And it reads really well, or listens really well, I guess you'd call it. So after all that hoopla and hype, tell us what Charlie Fiction's about.
All right. So, it's interesting that you jumped around in the story while you were mastering it and kind of picked up bits and pieces of it, because the story itself jumps around. It's a time travel story, and it starts in the present and it jumps to the future, then jumps to the past, then jumps back to the present, then jumps to the far past. I mean, like, it's jumping all around in time anyways. I actually wrote the thing with a method that I call node writing, N-O-D-E, node writing. Which essentially means that whatever I'm inspired to write, I write that scene. And then I go write another scene that I'm inspired to, and I pay no attention to chronological order, which for this book worked out really well. Like, all the different scenes that I had envisioned in my head kind of came together. And then I went and strung them together in the order that they needed to be for the story. So the fact that the book jumps around, you were jumping around mastering it, and I actually jumped around writing it. It sort of makes it this melange of images. But as you say, the story is very contiguous. There's like the through line on the story is, goes start to finish. It's just that we've got a time jumper. So it's about Daniel, who has jumped back 7 years in time to present day, which in the context of the book was 2018. To save the world, essentially. This is before we knew COVID was coming. But anyways, he's like, he jumps back to stop his best friend and business partner, Vincent, from setting in motion a set of events that's going to obliterate 99.9% of the population. And the person that's helping him do this is the love of his life from when he was a teenager, who his best friend killed when he was 16 years old in a rock slide in Canyonlands. She is a ghost, and she has come forward in time to make sure he doesn't lose his spine when it comes down to killing his best friend. Or Danny would say stopping his best friend. Charlie would say killing his best friend, because she doesn't think much of him, as you might guess.
Women always hold a grudge.
it's the picture on the cover is Charlie standing there with a gun, and she's not holding it by the handle. She's holding it by the barrel because she's about to hand it to Daniel. That's the sort of implication there in the story. So that's the hook for Charlie Fiction.
Well, you've got time travel.
No.
A sexy ghost lady.
Right.
You got the best friend conflict.
Yeah. What more could you want?
I know.
Right? It's got the whole thing. Guns and ammo. Let's not forget, a twist that no matter how astute you are, it has a twist you will not see coming.
Fair.
All right.
I make the challenge at Comic-Cons that I go to when I'm selling this particular book. I say, if you can see the twist before I reveal it to you, email me and I will take a picture of myself standing on my head and post it on, on Facebook. And I have not had anyone take me up on it yet. So I keep waiting, stand on my head and post it on Facebook, but no.
All right.
There's a twist. Well, if there's a chick in the book, there's always a twist. Oh, I'm a little salty today, if you can't tell. A little salty. Little salty. Hey, have you ever quit a job?
Have you ever quit a job?
Does
this have some personal current?
Yeah,
relevance?
We want to know like the most epic way you ever quit a job, or if you've got a story of somebody who epically just quit a job.
Oh man, like I don't tend to. I'm not a big fan of conflict. Which is odd, being as how I study martial arts. So I guess there's a part of me that actually really enjoys conflict, but like in jobs, I don't know that I've ever flipped somebody off walking out the door. I don't think I've ever done that. I mean, I've quit jobs on a whim before, but I don't know that I've ever like gotten to a row with a boss and, was like, see ya. Trying to think, I think I'm a bad,
that's funny
to ask that question too.
Well, I'm gonna have to, because I was trying to get fired. Well, not really. I was trying to figure stuff out. I legitimately told the CEO, I was like, I don't know what fucking dreamland you live in, but in the real world, this is how we do business. it was an interesting phone call. And then I just like hung up. I was like,
and did you lose?
No,
that
they
job,
just, it worked my ass today. So I was like, all right, well. See how it goes. Maybe I fixed it. Maybe Monday will be a brand new. Or maybe they'll. Maybe it's because I didn't go up to Denver today with the van. They're just waiting for me to get there, and they'll be like, "Give us the keys."
Right. They don't want you to do anything bad to the van before they get it back.
I would never.
From front of you.
I'm not talking like the epic thing where they burn the building. No, I swear to God, I'm going to burn the building down. Yes, it's my stapler. It's my stapler. Burn the building down. The salt. No salt on the glass. That guy's my favorite. You know where he started out? That Milt. He was he was a comic. That whole scene where he's getting moved to the basement was on Liquid Television. And they call them bookends, or used to. Which didn't make sense because they were in the middle of things. It actually didn't bookend, right?
No.
So they'd show like an episode of, they show that little dude be like, Liquid Television. They'd show that dude sitting there and she's like, you have to go down to the, move your desk. And he's like, I don't want to move my desk. No, I don't. And then they'd show like an episode of Eon Flux. And then it was a little shitty cartoon of him being, in the back of the office in a new desk. And she'd have to move the desk again. So it was like, and then it was down at the bottom. And then he burned the building down. And it just went, that was just like one episode of Liquid Television on MTV. And then I think after that, they gave him a whole slot. And that's where Beavis and Butthead came in.
Mike Judge.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Mike Judge is, that guy, oof. He's got all the funny shit just stashed away. So yeah, that's where that came from. Need to find that little cartoon. It's not funny when you watch it all together. It's funny when you're watching the whole Liquid Television and you're watching the different, weird animation. And that's interlaced as it goes. There's the theme. The little Milton guy getting moved around. That's great. Great. So what are the plans for the immediate future? I mean, besides
well,
the shady
truck
stop.
Currently working... Right. Oh, for the immediate future, for me or for audiobooks?
For you and or the audiobooks. I was more interested in the truck stop, but...
Okay, so... yes. I can tell. You keep coming back
telling
to
you,
it.
It's...
I'll go down and talk to
like
the guys
Disneyland
down there.
For weirdos.
But yeah, so for audiobooks, you helped me master Ordinary Magic, which will be coming out in the next month. Which is a story about me and my 14-year-old son last year over the summer hiking 450 miles through the Colorado Rockies. So on the Colorado Trail, which goes from Denver to Durango. And on a whim, like I do a lot of things apparently, we decided to hike this trail and, like, you know, got all prepped over the course of a couple of weeks, got all loaded up, and then headed out onto the trail. And it was epic. I couldn't know how epic it was going to be when we started. And it was just amazing. I mean, it was like, so, you know, I mean, you watch these coming of age movies, you know, like Breakfast Club and, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and these sort of things where kids, you know, sort of work through the things that they need to work through to go from being a child to being an adult, right? And they usually happen in, you know, afternoon detention or over the course of a, you know, a school year or a part of a school year, you're like Karate Kid or something like that.
But being chased by vampires.
In reality,
whatever.
Right, being chased by vampires, yes, exactly. In reality, that sort of transformation happens over about 5 years. Like, I mean, like, we come of age over a much longer span than the movies show, but the movies don't have much time, so they got to kind of cram it all in, right? But I got to watch him grow up on the trail. I mean, you do something that's that long, that's that intense, and you get to see all the spectrum of emotions and the things that come up for a kid who's, you know, doing this epic thing. It was just, it was a unforgettable moment. And not to mention the fact that as a 50-year-old, I kind of came of age again. I mean, like, it's not easy to hike 450 miles. And I tell you, the first 2 weeks, my feet were practically bleeding. Like, I had blisters the size of, gosh, larger than a silver dollar. Yeah. I mean, like, they were huge and painful and, you know, potentially going to get infected. And I almost quit the trails, you know, a couple of times and just, you know, persevered through until they turned into, you know, calluses. And it was just, anyways, it's an epic story that all actually happened. It's not one of my fantasy stories. It's nonfiction. So I'm really excited for that story to come out on audiobook. And that one is me reading it. So as my own voice, I don't even have to make up voices because it's my voice.
Right. Nice. That's, I do dislike television, especially HGTV, for the fact that it gives people unrealistic expectations of when their home remodels are going to be done. So, you know, it's only one episode. It's like,
right. Right, so
I'm like,
yeah, why is that taking you 2 weeks?
Why is this taking 6 months? I'm like, all right, I just need you to hold on. Do you remember the first part of the episode where it was fall outside? And then in the middle part, it was winter. And then in the end where they did the reveal, it was like summertime. Just letting you know, just saying. It didn't all happen in a half hour.
Right, I was going to say, it didn't take them 30 minutes. They just want you to think it.
Oh, my God. Those guys have ruined my industry. Ruined it.
So as far as actual real time, I'm in St. Louis because I've got another story to tell. So Ordinary Magic came because I went and hiked this Colorado Trail. Well, back when I was 29 years old, I was about to sit down and write. I had been kind of doing some day jobs here and there, and I was being pretty successful at them, which can be very distracting because you get promoted within a day job and then it's, you know, sort of like, oh wow, I'm making more money, I don't know if I want to leave, all that stuff. But the writing kept calling and calling and calling to me, and finally I extricated myself from this quite promising day job that I had, and decided I was going to move to Placerville, California. I was going to get a dishwashing job. I was going to sit my butt in the chair with every free moment I had, and I was going to write. So I rode my motorcycle out, packed up my meager belongings, dropped them off at a friend's house in Placerville, and then as like a final little hurrah, I was going to go and see an ex-girlfriend of mine in San Francisco. So I rode the motorcycle out to San Francisco, and I'm there at this girl's house, and who should show up but my best friend, who was in LA screenwriting at the time. And he knocks on the door, and we, you know, me and this girl come to the door, and we're both looking at him like, what the hell are you doing here? You know? He looks up and he's like, Todd, you've got to come to New York with me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to New York. I'm going back to Placerville, and I'm going to sit my ass down and I'm going to write books. And he's like, wrong answer. Give me 30 minutes to tell you why that's the wrong answer. And I was like, okay, come inside. So he spins this tale of this sort of, you know, this experience that he had in LA. And you know, that we're going to go and look for magic. We're going to go across the entire country if that's what it takes, from coast to coast, looking for magic in the world, right? And by the time he was done with this inspiring tale, I'm like, okay, I'm yours. Let's go. So I didn't end up going to Placerville. We packed all the stuff that we had in the back of his ratty, you know, pickup truck, and we drove from one coast to the other coast, all the way to New York. We stopped in all kinds of places. We went to Denver, obviously. We went up to Minnesota. We went over to Cape Cod, and then we went down to New York, and everywhere in between, and went on this hunt. So that's the story that I want to craft. Well, recently, this friend of mine, Giles, he calls me up, and he's like, hey, I need to get out of North Carolina, which is where he lives right now. He's like, I got to go on this road trip and clear my head. And he's like, you know, what are you doing in like 3 days? Because I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. I'm like, come on by, let's hang out. We'll have like, you know, this renaissance of nostalgia, because, you know, we were like best friends in high school and best friends all through college and after college. And, you know, around about the mid 30s, we kind of went our separate ways. And then that night I was kind of sitting with it. I'm like, holy crap. You know, he's coming almost coast to almost coast. It's like, you know, when we were young, you know, 20 something guys with lots of potential and nothing to lose, we went all the way from one coast to another, you know, and what kind of parallel would it be for me to go out to where he's living now with his family and, you know, go with him all the way to where I'm living now with my family. I'm like, call him back up. I'm like, hey, what if I flew out and joined you on the road trip on the way out? And he's like, do it. So anyway, that's what's happening right now. I'm kind of like taking notes. We're having this fantastic time talking nonstop in the cab, all nostalgia about the good old days, quote unquote, and you know, visions and expectations for the next phase of our lives. So I don't know exactly what the book's going to be, but I knew I had to come and start doing this research for this story. So that's the sort of long and the short of it, and why I'm in St. Louis right now.
That's a good reason.
Well, I'm glad you approve.
Right. Like, yeah, that's a good reason.
That sounds pretty epic.
The one thing I want to do, have you ever seen anybody do the Lincoln Highway?
No.
What's the Lincoln Highway? Is the only interstate highway that is contiguous that connects from San Francisco to New York.
Okay, you're going to have to fill me in a little bit more, because I thought there were many interstates that interconnect that can take you all the way from San Francisco.
It was like the first one. It's like the first one that interconnected and did the whole thing. So it's a little bit legendary. And you cut through – you basically just go across the mid-north-ish of the United States. So like through – I want to do that on the bike one day. Like cruise out to San Jose and hang out with some friends I have, and then – and then just rent one of those Harleys that you can return and just beat the shit out of that one all the way. Just beat it up and just take it from San Francisco. And then I think it drops you off right there, like near the Javits Center in New York. So it's right there.
You know, my wife has a friend that she met like a year ago or 2 years ago, and he just rented a motorcycle, started in, I believe it was Key West, like the southernmost point in Florida. And I think it was like even a little bit beyond Florida, because I know the Keys are not like, they're not connected, but they have a road on them. I think he started in Key West and he rode the motorcycle all the way to some, like the end of the road in Alaska, like the town that is at the end of,
like,
the last paved road
to
in Alaska,
Kenai,
right?
Or somewhere.
Like, that actually I think is the name of the town. Did you
Kenai,
say Kenai?
Yep.
I think that is the name of the town. Yeah. So yeah, he went as far as the roads would take him, you know, within the continent of
that's ridiculous.
You know, within the country of the United States, but, you know, on the continent. Yeah. And I think
I mapped it as a summer trip from Kenai down to Seattle. I was going to do that and then fly home from SeaTac and as a vacation a few years back, and it didn't happen. But I've mapped it because I wanted to ride through Alaska and through Canada and, you know, get some molasses aid, some, you know.
Yeah. And I think he was like having to wear a back brace about halfway through. Like, I mean, it's a lot of punishment on your body. You're going to be on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to rent one of those nice, like, tour packaged Harleys that, you know, have the air conditioned seats and mm-hmm. the whole shebang. Shit that costs like as much as my house. So yeah, just rent it.
That sounds like something you'd see on, I forget what the show was called, but it was, I think, on like Nat Geo or something with, was it Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor did something like that, and then the dude from
were him and a friend, but it was all over the world. They weren't. It wasn't even just in the U.S.
Norman,
they would ride everywhere.
Norman Levis,
Norman Reedus.
Reedus, he had a little show that was like he would go all over the world with his friends yeah. and they'd do little jaunts on the bike, like just take a day ride with his buddies or people he knew in the industry or whatever.
Nice.
Talk about the local fair. Yeah, if I had Walking Dead money, that's what I'd do, too.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Hey, I got a show. I want to go ride motorcycles all over the world. You guys can pay for it, and we'll put it on a show. Like, I would totally weasel that in there. The producers here at Man Tools are dicks, and they don't want to give out any
They're
of that
stingy
that super money they have in the coffers.
They're stingy with the $20 a month from Patreon.
Shit, we're making 20?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. Amazing. We don't do enough risque things in Patreon, you know. We've never been kicked off YouTube.
Yeah.
He said ironically. Well, anyway, I know it's probably getting late over there and you got shit to do. I want to thank you, Todd, for coming on Man Tools and promoting the books and the stuff, and that was a cool story.
Yeah,
I dig the cool stories. Hopefully, awesome. you sell bajillion copies and, you know, make it onto Oprah. Where she's still a thing with books.
I don't know if she is. I think maybe she is. She's got a whole network.
Well, I mean,
now,
we're old enough to know the joke. We know the joke about if you make it on Oprah, you just now your book is everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's hoping. I'm still.
If not Oprah, then something.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Ed McMahon to show up with my check.
That I'm pretty sure is over.
Happening.
Isn't Ed McMahon dead
at
this point? I don't think
that's
he's
why
even
it would
alive.
Be pretty awesome.
Right. Then you
I'd
can
like,
have a ghost.
Oh,
in your own
Ed
story.
McMahon showed up with my publisher's clearinghouse check. That'd be amazing. See, I tell the book jokes together. Thinking, always thinking. Always
nice.
Thinking. All right, my friend. Will you be safe out on the road? And we'll chat soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for inviting me to the show.
Thank
you.
Thanks
both.
For coming on, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, drive fast and swerve.
All right.
Make decisions. Okay. Bye.
Good night, guys. See you later.
We're assholes.
Sometimes.
Anyway, back to the news.
Back to the news. Let's jump ahead to some cool stuff.
Okay.
How about that?
I like cool stuff.
All right. For those that don't know, Australia is losing its goddamn mind about COVID nonsense. But weirdly, they just came out and said they've decided zero COVID isn't a tenable policy.
Oh, really?
But they're still not backing off of any of the nonsense. So anyways, this lady, I forget her name. If I'm not mistaken, she's the premier, which we would call the governor here, of New South Wales. And someone just pasted together, I think, this awesome clip that kind of sums up their whole thing over there. So just check this out. I'm impressed by the how it flows into such a – well, you'll see. We'll see for yourself.
I'm a bit tired of hearing people saying, I don't know how to do my job properly. And I think that's really mean. I remember being criticised. Just remind everybody how criticised I was. That's not acceptable. I hope everybody likes staying at home because we are going to go into lockdown forever. Nobody from New South Wales is going anywhere. We will have 2 million police officers standing at the corner of every street.
to monitor every single citizen. We're really watching very closely. I hope this really will be devastating. We don't like to be heavy-handed, but what we need to say today now is that if you leave home, we will give you a death sentence. Please know that you will be shot in the face, and I hope it's painful. You are required to obey what we say when we say it, and if you don't, you can prepare to die. I've said from the outset, I don't care about your life and the life of those around you. I don't really give a shit. The government is now about to announce what we call the final solution. We are inspired by history and realise we can very easily permanently get rid of anybody thinking illegal thoughts. We aim to have absolutely zero freedom. Follow the rules or else you'll never be seen again. If you think you can live freely under our very strict and harsh regime, I have news for you. If you even consider breaking the rules, I will personally stab you in the head and rip your guts out. We have 24 hours surveillance of every single person in the community. We want to cause anguish, hurt and suffering to as many citizens as possible. Every day at 11 o'clock, every citizen in this state must listen to me. This is the fourth right, and I will make sure that I never, ever, ever give up power till the day I die.
Well, we're going to give it up to the Remix Matrix.
Oh.
Whoo. Wow.
I thought that was fucking epic.
That was amazing. Oh, please tell me you have the Matrix trailer loaded
the trailer,
up.
I don't.
Okay. That would have been fun after that.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. Stab you in the head and rip out your guts.
Unlike Australia, who's lost their minds, you know who hasn't? EXO Autoworks. As always, Mantools is brought to you by our friends at EXO Autoworks, Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. EXO knows that finding the problem is the first step to getting your car right, which is why EXO Autoworks provides diagnostics at no charge in most cases. They also do fleet services, fluid services, repair services, and so much more. They work on all makes and models, including high mileage, and they offer a 24,000-mile, two-year nationwide warranty. So call EXO at 719-375-3232 or go to exoautoworks.com to book your appointment right away.
That's the shop behind us. It's like the coolest dance party
exactly
shop ever.
That's the place.
Yep.
And this week, I'm so happy. We have a tool of the week. It's an actual tool
that Hooray.
You can use, not a person acting like a tool. Check this thing out.
This is on the wish list. Just gonna slide this over, lifty lifty. Level. Oh god, that's so easy. I sent that to my buddy Ryan because he does cabinets. He's like, oh my god. I'm like, I know, right?
That's kind of a shorty video, but
that's a cool tool.
I don't know what else you need to see that thing do.
There's a list of tools I want to get still. That one's on it. That tile thing where it measures that thing is pretty awesome.
Yep.
Pretty legit. That's our tool of the week, brought to you by EXO Autoworks and apparently, going in.
All right. And let's see. We're getting kind of late. I had some pissing us off, but I think I'm going to save it for next week, and
let's
we'll just jump to the week in history.
Yeah.
So let's get on that. This week in his story. So this week in his story, September 9th, 1087, William the Conqueror, Duke of Normandy and King of England, dies in ruin That's a town or place. Not ruin, like he's out of money. While conducting a war.
Rowan.
Rowan?
Rowan.
While conducting a war which began when the French king made fun of him for being fat.
I mean... In his famous words in 1087, he said, "Hey, I'm not fat, big man, goddammit!" And started a war with France.
Let's see, September 10th, 2008, the Large Hadron Collider. Hadron Collider.
Look at him standing there. He's got a. He's yeah. Looks like a scene from Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
It looks like it looks like Scotty's like, "Hey, gotta get the warp drive."
Yeah.
The world's largest and most powerful particle accelerator, described as the biggest scientific experiment in history, is powered up in Geneva, Switzerland. And this was a big deal because the opinions on what might happen went from it's going to open up a black hole in the middle of the Earth and we're just going to all die.
And my favorite part about that, it's going to open up a black hole in the Earth so we can't put it in Ohio. Let's send it to Geneva. We don't want to hear the fuck.
But it was like, it could destroy everything, or it might just like flash some lights and do some cool stuff.
It flashed some lights, did some cool stuff, and we found the Higgs boson particle.
Yes. Now, if I'm not, is this involved in the experiment where they think they sent some light back in time?
No, that's that other Russian lady.
Okay. I know they sent some light back in time, and I'm like, so what does that mean? Does that mean... someone that saw lights in the past may have seen light that was sent back in time.
Saw a ghost.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy stuff.
I like time travel experiments. I like timey-wimey stuff.
It is.
It's wild. I like Charlie Fiction.
And then you get into the whole paradox of, well, if they saw it in the past, then it has to happen in the future, but the future hasn't happened. And oh my God. Oh.
It gets timey-wimey and wibbly-wobbly, as Doctor Who says.
Yeah.
If you want to know, if you want to learn and watch the greatest time travel of all time, just watch Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's the most fun time travel.
Let's see. Of course, September 11th, 2001, in an unprecedented, highly coordinated attack, terrorists hijacked four passenger airliners, flew two into the World Trade Center towers in New York, and one into the Pentagon, killing thousands. The fourth, headed toward Washington, likely to strike the White House or Capitol, was crashed just over 100 miles away in Pennsylvania after the passengers stormed the cockpit and overtook the hijackers. Yeah. 20 years later, we're still worried about the Taliban and Afghanistan.
And we just armed them with a shitload of guns, and guns that you and I can't own.
I'm sure, just by accident, inaugurating the provisional government on September 11th.
Yeah. Motherfuckers. I'm just going to say it. Motherfuckers.
So, let's see. September 12th, 1786. Despite his failed efforts to suppress the American Revolution, General Lord Cornwallis is appointed the governor of India. I don't know if it's in spite of or as punishment.
Yeah.
It's hard telling. That could have been the crown going, we don't ever want to speak to you again.
It's like, they're like, well, we can't kill him. He didn't really do anything wrong. He just got whooped. So, here, dude, you're going to go deal with, you know, this mess.
Go handle that.
Go handle that.
September 13th, 1951 in Korea. Nice. U.S. Army troops begin their assault on Heartbreak Ridge.
Nice.
This is not from the event, this image. This is from the movie where Clint Eastwood plays a former soldier turned Marine who has to whoop into shape some ragtag bunch of Marines. It's a great movie.
Is that Gunny Highway?
Gunny Highway.
Gunny Highway.
Yep.
I'm being more... Oh, my God. That
what was
scene?
That dude? Ayatollah Rock and Roller.
Ayatollah Rock and Roller.
Yes. Great flick. You should definitely watch it.
Oh, yeah. Recon! I fucking love that movie. It's so good.
Let's see. September 14th, 1812. Napoleon Bonaparte's invasion of Russia reaches its climax as his Grand Army enters Moscow, only to find the capital deserted and burning, set aflame by the few Russians who remained. They were like, nope, we're out.
Fuck you, buddy.
And finally, September 15th, 1959, Nikita Khrushchev becomes the first Soviet leader to pay a visit to the United States. Of course, there he is standing next to, or walking next to, President Eisenhower. You know, one of those times they were like, eh, we'll try to get along.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
And that has been this week in his story, which of course brings us to the end of the show.
It's been a great show. I learned a lot.
We should license the
had a lot of fun.
The Incredible Hulk, the sad end.
Yeah,
song.
We need to. Oh yeah. Yeah. Bill Bigsby walking down a highway.
Hitchhiking.
Hitchhiking. The end of every show. I just thought that's how people got around in the
'70s. Couldn't drive themselves.
Yeah, I just thought, like, wow. If you're a superhero, you have to hitchhike.
That's it.
Lou Ferrigno is the man.
Yeah.
Still is the man.
He's awesome.
What a dude. Well, we'd like to thank our guest tonight, Todd
Fanastock.
Be sure to check out his work at toddfanastock.com. There'll be a link in the description. We'd love all of our sponsors. Thank you so much. Especially EXO Audio Works. EXO Auto Works. Auto Works. And Harmonic Studios with Jim Manus. Thank you so much for watching and or listening on your preferred stream. You can check us out at mantoolsmedia.com and all of our socials at linktree.com/mantoolsmedia, including a link to buy our new soap, the Toolbar, available in black oak, fresh cut wood, or exfoliating cedar, which that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
To everybody getting their hands on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not rub one out in the shower with that.
No,
one.
Don't.
That's a bad idea. I'm just warning you. These are all brought to you by our strategic partner, Crafts by Carolyn Lane on Etsy. No relation to Trevor Lane. Merch.
Not true at all.
Merch is available at mantoolsmedia.redbubble.com. You can check out some really cool merch. I love the new Safety Third.
There, I'll pop that up.
And there, we'll pop those up because I really like the new Safety Third and our new Tread On Me, our super awesome logos. Trevor, apparently you had a couple of days off and really knocked it out of the park with these bad boys.
Well, here's the Safety Third.
Yep, I dig the Safety Third.
And here's the Tread On Me.
Tread On Me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We thoroughly understand irony on Man Tools, so. Some of you don't, which is why we had to change our Whatever Happened to My Body, My Choice logo.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Some of you don't understand sarcasm, satire, and irony. Irony is not what you do to your shirts. Just saying. But I digress. We'll get back over to the other thing. Is there any upcoming events?
Not for me.
All right. Well, Saturday... I've got a show at the Union Station, doing a little acoustic thing. Kilo Mom passed away last week. And for those in the region, Colorado Springs, she was at, if it was loud and metal, she was at that show.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. Kind of a, I mean, she's a fixture at every rock show since, I don't know, 1998.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, she's the Kilo Mom. She took care of everybody over at Kilo. I think it's funny. She'd just bring them cookies. She used to live over there. Some shit, whatever. I would send you to our new YouTube channel, but it's so convoluted and full of, it's a big German word. It's youtube.com/ you can dick as Gershon Milky QEA 5.
But you know how you can help us change that? If we get over 100 subscribers, we can get the custom URL again.
So we will be promoting the bejesus out of that this week.
Yep.
And everybody on my email list will get a link. Please, please like and subscribe. Smash the like button. I hate when somebody says it.
Don't smash it.
Don't smash
it. Just click it.
Just click it.
That's all you have to do.
Clickety click.
And hey, I wouldn't even ask that you turn on the notifications. Just click a like.
Yeah, don't even turn them on. You know where we're at. We're on Thursday nights, you know, 7:30 Man Tool Standard Time.
That's right.
Well, it's been fun.
And next week, we shall be doing part two of Animal Farm for our Patreon.
Our Patreon.
We're going to live stream it this time because we've come up with a new live streaming solution for Patreon, I think. Fingers crossed. This will be a test.
Thanks, guys.
Right. Good night, everybody.
Amazon Business honors Ricardo Gurgel, owner of Veggie Root Tavern. This week, Ricardo saved big and used Amazon Business to help his team buy commercial deep fryers at a quantity discount. Because even veggies can be fried.
I'm gonna need two orders of fried fiddleheads.
With business buying easier than before, Ricardo now uses his extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying. Mmm, fiddleheads. Yum.